Okay, Ricky, we're ready for you, please.
Thank you so much, Daryl. All right, so my prayer is my voice will hold out this whole time. And thank you guys for praying for me. I appreciate you all so much. So let's start with a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for all of the praise reports that Daryl brought forth. I thank you, Lord, that we get the opportunity to see the media fall. Lord God, because in this hour, we need deception and we need corruption to be exposed and brought down. And the media has been the mouthpiece of the cabal long enough. So we thank you, Father. We thank you that you're turning hearts. You are turning hearts, Lord God. People who once persecuted President Trump are now seeing they've been on the wrong path. I thank you, Father, that you were bringing things into the light. I read that RFK will uphold pro-life agendas as he makes America healthy again. I heard, Lord God, so many things that we've prayed about. We could spend a whole week just going over seeing the victories that we've prayed over as they come to pass. And what a privilege it's been to pray according to your will. Father God, I pray that tonight as we go over these things that you really began to put on my heart this past weekend, I pray that you would seal them within our hearts and you would help us to anchor to them and understand the time in which we live in this pivotal moment that we're in today. And it will ignite within us a fervent desire to stay people of prayer. And I thank you for this, Lord. I ask that you just settle things around us so that we can focus on what you have. In your precious name, amen. So this past weekend, I was sitting before the Lord and just saying, Lord, what would you have me to share this week? And he began to bring back visions or words that he had given me. And the one that really stuck out was the one where, and I often refer to it as the weeping and sweeping of our Lord across the nation, but it was at the end of it, you know, we saw the golden hour approach. And I was jotting that down in our D.C., Virginia, state coordinator for Joel's Army sent me the invite for the inauguration that she got from her governor, Youngkin. And it said, ushering in America's golden age under President Trump. And I told her, the Lord just brought that back to me for me to share this week. And even though I'd lost my voice this week, the Lord kept bringing to me things that he wanted me to share. So I felt like it was really important because he just like Daryl said, he has us revisit these things for a reason. And when I gave this message, this was March of last year, March of 2024, and the title of that message is When Prophecy and History Collide, the Release of the Golden Hour. So when prophecy and history collide, that means when God tells us something, and it could take years, and the message I did surrounded Daniel chapter 9 when Daniel went before the Lord and said, okay, it's been 70 years. I'm going to repent for everything we need to repent for because the time is approaching for the people of Israel to be sent back the time of Jeremiah's prophecy is coming to fulfillment. And so, you know, that's a time when prophecy and history collide. And times are moving faster. And, you know, we are moving forward in history a little bit faster than we were before. And so tonight, as I share these things, I encourage you to really take to heart what the Lord has laid out for us, because there's a reason for this. There's a reason for it. Okay, so Sunday, March 3rd of 2024, I had a vision of America, and it was filled with corruption. The corruption was displayed literally by a dark substance that reminded me of like heavy soot. And it was layered across the land so deep, it appeared as though we had no mountains or lakes or valleys. Even the Grand Canyon, which, and I looked this up to figure this out, had an average depth of 1 mile, was all level because the corruption simply filled every nook and cranny of the land. And the Lord appeared on the west coast, and he was weeping. He stood about 150 feet tall, and he began moving eastward from the northern corner toward the south and then back in like a serpentine motion. He headed east, weeping and sweeping, weeping and sweeping. In this process, he was also exposing the corruption. Behind him, the land was cleared because he was weeping and sweeping. It was defined, and it was sparkling, and it was he was cleansing the land. But by the time he arrived at the Grand Canyon, I could see soot beginning to line up along the west coast again. And once he arrived on the east coast and turned around, I could see the land was already almost filled back up with the corruption. And within a short time, it seemed almost as bad as it was when he began. He walked back to the west coast and started the same procedure, interceding, weeping and sweeping, cleansing the land. But this time, the corruption was not just being exposed, it was being uprooted. By the time he arrived at the Grand Canyon, and I believe that the Grand Canyon was singled out for three reasons, and its vast size makes it easy to recognize. Secondly, filling a crevice over a mile deep demonstrates the severity of the corruption in our nation. And it's not just America. Let's just be clear about that. It's the world. You know, the elite have really, really brought a lot of corruption in the nations of the earth. But the third reason is it begins the next time zone, and I believe this represents a new time period in our history. So again, by the time Jesus arrived there, he turned and looked back, and I could see a line of people across the western coastline that were now following him. And behind them was another line of people, then another and another. And it looked as though they were emerging from the sea, and they just kept coming. Having seen the corruption he exposed, these individuals were working to retain and maintain the cleansing that he was doing. And I believe the weeping our Lord was doing has been in partnership with the work of the intercessors from 1999 to 2020. This is a period that we had been doing our gathering of the eagles. You know, my mom has shared this many, many times about the call, the commission of the gathering of the eagles. And our first gathering was in 1999. So the gap from 2020 until now is when he gave me this, which again was March of 2024. The nation has filled back up with the soot of the last century. And while it can seem discouraging because he exposed the roots of the corruption, the people are now ready to reclaim the land. And God is faithful because we prayed, and we have to remember that. And he began another track across our land because he has not turned his back on America. And I know there are, you know, and I put air quotes here, voices out there, prophetic voices or whatever you would call them, that God has turned his back on America, but that's not true. He has not turned his back on this country. So from 2020 until now, our Lord's been working to cleanse the land in partnership with the intercessors. But those coming up out of the sea are the rods of righteousness, the new breed of warriors. And I have seen them in visions, and we've prayed about them for many years. And these are the ones that God called upon to retain and maintain the work that's been done in the spirit realm. They're the new breed of believers that he started talking to me about in 2018. They're the ones commissioned by God to take back the land for his kingdom purposes. Now, I know that my mom has seen rods of righteousness. She has seen the loyalists, and I believe they're very much connected. So, you know, these are pastors and politicians and educators and journalists and businessmen, judges and district attorneys, advocates for life, warriors for God's justice, patriots, and so on. So these are the men and women God has prepared for this time period, and they're partnering with him, and they will retain and maintain what has been done in the spirit through our intercession. You know, we can weep and weep and weep and weep over our nation, but if there are not people on the ground to implement the things that we're praying into, that's why we often pray that God will raise up those to take their place. We've got to pray that. We've got to pray that legislators will come forth to make righteous decisions. We've got to pray that you know, science will catch up with the Word of God and help demonstrate life in the womb. We've got to pray that exposure will actually come in terms of what's taking place at the border, what's taking place with human trafficking, and so on. Okay, so the Lord finished his trek across the land, and the warriors that were coming up behind him all gathered around the eastern seaboard and turned around. Now, these warriors literally, now remember, he's weeping and sweeping across the nation. God raised up those that will retain and maintain the work that's been done through the intercession and the cleansing of the nation. So now here they are on the eastern seaboard, and they turn around, and, you know, I'm standing in their midst, and we look across the country, and it was beautiful. There was a transparent golden hue that blanketed the nation. As we stood there with the Lord, I saw the innocence of the nation. It was pure, and it was really entering a place of fulfilling its destiny in God. The people of the land feared God. They honored their fellow man, and they sought to serve their neighbor in a way I haven't seen since I was a very young child. They were fulfilling, you know, Matthew 27 to 40, it says, love thy neighbor, you know, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, and thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. They were fulfilling the great commands, right? So the Lord, looking across the country, he said it was our golden hour. Now, there's two definitions of the golden hour, and I believe we should consider both, recognizing they both apply to what the Lord is saying here. First is the golden hour that photographers and filmmakers alike relish to capture, to get that very best imagery. It's known as a magical hour, really. It's a captivating period of time that occurs around sunrise and sunset. And during this enchanting hour, the sun is positioned low in the sky, and it casts this soft, warm light, and it literally transforms the landscape. During this period, the sun's rays are at a lower angle, and so they have to travel through more of the Earth's atmosphere. So you can really get the result of this, where the Earth's upper atmosphere is reflecting the sunlight and illuminating the lower atmosphere and making the sky appear golden with reddish colors. You know, so often you go out in the evening, it's like it's such a beautiful sky. It's just this golden hue or these reddish colors, and it's so beautiful. And it doesn't last long, but if a photographer can capture this rare period of the day, it really becomes a moment they can get lost in. There's a second golden hour that we need to consider, and that's in terms of a medical intervention. And in the this is a period of about an hour that's right after a stroke or a traumatic injury, during which the highest likelihood that prompt medical and surgical treatment will prevent death. So, you know, I can take you back to the vision I had of the nation way back in 2020. In fact, we spent a couple of weeks praying over this vision, and the nation was on an operating table. It was a woman that was there, and she had been in a catastrophic accident, and the Lord was working feverishly to heal the mind, the heart, the stomach, the womb, the knees, and the feet of a nation that had turned away from him. And throughout this surgery, a golden hue rested upon the woman. And in his mercy, he was healing the soul of the nation. And I think this is where we are, and this is where we've been in history, particularly over this last year or two. We've had this moment in which we can capture his plans and purposes for our nation and release them by partnering with him in prayer and by either engaging in the natural or praying for those who can engage in the natural to rise up to retain and maintain the work being done in this hour. And our goal has been to see his divine and holy will done here on earth. So, you know, our nation, I firmly believe, is on a path to healing. And we've got to continue to pray into the things that God is giving us, you know, to trust him to fulfill his will in the earth. Any prophecy with historical substance, especially those that shape nations, it has to be prayed into. This is why you often hear Mom and I both pray into the things that the Lord has shown us. You'll hear us pray, Lord, I remember when you showed me thus and so, thus and so. And we're praying into it because the Lord is bringing that back to us. And that's the opportune moment when the Spirit is provoking that within us to pray into it. So, our responsibility is to listen to the word of the Lord as spoken by his prophets, and to pray into his plans and purposes for the nation. The road to recovery and the path to healing really is upon us. And I want to share another vision that the Lord gave me. It was clear back in 2016, and it refers to the approach of the golden hour, okay? So this is before the election, 2016 election, and this is when John and I were holding a special prayer time on Tuesdays just to pray over the election. We did this for about 6 months. Every other week it was in the morning, and the opposing weeks it was in the evening. And so while we were in prayer, I had a vision of Donald Trump, his life, the past, present, and the future. And if you can picture kind of like an hourglass laying on its side, the grains of sand on the left represent Trump's experiences, his successes, his failures, his sorrows, his celebrations, personal and professional, all were represented. On the right was the future. And he stepped out onto the stage to take the oath of office. So remember, this is before the election of 2016. And I saw him head out onto the inaugural stage. And so the moment his heel touched the platform, I saw everything he'd experienced in his life, everything that was on the left side, those grains of sand in that hourglass. They came from behind him. They met at his body. And when his toe hit the stage, they shot through him and onto our nation in the form of a golden light. Tiny grains of light bursting forth and penetrating the darkness in order to bring healing to our land. The land appeared as though it were covered with a golden hue. The Lord told me, even at that time, he had created Trump for this hour in history. Now, I'm going to be completely transparent with you right now. The Lord told my mom years before that Trump, Donald Trump, was supposed to be president, and he didn't run in 2012, and she thought he was going to reject the call. And I thought, why would God call that man to be president? Why would he do that? But see, when you really submit yourself to the Lord and you begin praying to see God's will, God changes your heart to align with his will. So even though the Lord had shown her that, I think he showed her that clear back in 2008, and then we thought he would run in 2012. So here we are, 2016, and I got it because I prayed for God's will, and I prayed for him to show me what his will was. And in that moment, I saw it. Everything that he had experienced in his 70 years of life, I saw it. It was going to be poured out to heal and rebuild our nation. This is why Trump was created. So how could I not commit to pray for him every day? Now, why am I sharing this right now? Because we can look at our nation and say, our nation's more divided than ever. But that's not true. That's not an accurate statement anymore. In 2020, the media had created chaos and division. The media is still doing it. They're still persecuting him. They're still calling him racist. They're still saying everything that he says has racist connotations, and it is truly about dividing our country. That's what the media says, but that's not true. The reality of it is President Trump's appearance on the scene exposed the corruption. It exposed it. And it had to be exposed for God to deal with it and heal our nation. It had to happen. As hard as the last 8 years have been, it had to happen. Because if you do not expose the wound, bring it into the light, do some debridement of that wound, it will stay infected. It will fester up, and a person could get sepsis and die. That's where we were headed, to a place where our nation would die. And God said, okay, I got the strongest man out there, and I'm going to give him the grace to take the brunt of these attacks from the media, from those corrupt politicians. Because I now need to expose the depth of corruption in this country so that my people will seek my face, so my people will see it and begin to turn from their wicked ways and start to pursue me and my will for this country. God's plan right now is for President Trump to take office and to begin to right this ship and rebuild our country. And we don't even realize the depth and the impact of that, the effect that will have on the church, the effect that will have on our children, the effect that will have on the educational system, the effect that will have on banking, on business, on our relationship with the world, the effect that will have in terms of wars in the world. When he is in office, God is going to use him to do mighty things because God is paving the way for our golden hour, a beautiful time in history where we're going to see the outpouring of God come into our land, and it will not just affect America. This is going to affect the nations of the world. This is what we've prayed for. Now, is it going to be all, you know, gumdrops and roses? And it's not. For a little while, it's going to be rough. And we've got to continue to pray it through. Because the elite, the cabal, they're spitting mad. And that's why we have to be very faithful in praying for President Trump's protection. When I looked back at this vision the Lord gave me of President Trump going to the inaugural stage, when I saw his heel strike the stage, and then his toe, I always thought, Lord, why the two strikes? Why the pause? Of course, after 2020, I began to see why. There would be a pause between his terms that he served as president. And when his toe strikes, that's when we're really going to see the fruit of our intercession go forth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This next one, the Lord gave me in September of 2023. And I asked the Lord, why this one right now? And part of the and as I read it, I hope you'll understand why. This was on a Wednesday, September 6th. I had a series of visions while I was praying over President Trump and our nation. And as I prayed, I had a vision of him standing before me. He was standing with his head bowed, but he had been struck with arrows all over his body. Most of these arrows remained in place. And I asked the Lord where these arrows came from, and he responded, the church. And I can't tell you the depth of grief this sent me into. So I quickly moved to our president and began to pull the arrows out, praying healing over each wound. As I prayed over his back, his head, his heart, his knees, and his feet, the areas once wounded began to glow with the healing touch of the Lord. And the Lord spoke these words to me about President Trump. And he said that he was his anointed. He was his choice to lead the nation out of the chaos of the elite. Only President Trump had been granted the wisdom and the understanding and the counsel to do so. And the Lord was going to grant him the spirit of might. He'd been given a spirit of knowledge, and he will walk in the fear of the Lord. And as he enters the office of the presidency once again, the Lord will expand his spirit within him to effectively tackle the chaos of the elite. And I remember Mom sharing that the Lord had prepared President Trump to be president, and that he was going to even expand his already incredibly, I mean, he is a genius. I know the media tells you otherwise, but you don't build an empire like he does without having some smarts about you. So she said that the Lord had shown her that he was going to expand President Trump's mind to be able to do all that he needed to do. So as I prayed over him, his back straightened and his knees straightened, and an unbelievable clarity came to his mind and his heart, and there was determination in his eyes. He was unshakable, he was unstoppable, and he was a rod of God against the elite. Now, I want to share the reason. There's two reasons why the Lord wanted me to share this is because we as a church have to be careful about what we say about President Trump, because our words affect him. We've got to speak blessings over him and speak and pray over him that God will equip him with everything he needs to do the job that God is putting him in office to do. Secondly, is this right here. So he began to walk. Remember I just said he's the rod of God against the elite. He began to walk over the communist agenda. And with each step, the fallow ground shattered underneath his feet. I walked alongside him, and I was just praying in the spirit, decreeing and declaring with each passing step, direct assaults against the communist agenda were occurring. Each step he took crushed another communist agenda. One after the other began to fall. The communists began to shake and quake as they saw the hammer of justice heading straight for them. The long pathway, and it was 45 steps, which I thought was interesting, crushed the invasion into our media, the invasion into academia, the infiltration in our government, the financial institutions, even our churches, until we looked behind us and saw the mounds of rubble left in our wake. Somehow it was all collected and placed in our hands, and then we thrust it into the fire of God to be consumed. I looked and I saw the deep state players within Congress blown out to sea. Now, I'm not saying that they were, you know, they just disappeared. I'm not saying that they were drowned in the ocean. What I saw was they were removed from their post and thrust back into the sea of people. I saw other members of the deep state that were positioned in key positions of government, finance, and so on, exposed, and then they disappeared into darkness. The hammer of justice had fallen. President Trump turned around, and as we walked, the vision I had of him that I just mentioned before the 2016 election reappeared. And in that vision, he walked up the steps to the inaugural stage, and within the milliseconds that it took between the time his heel hit the stage and his toe landed on the stage, the Spirit of the Lord came from behind him and passed through him. And there was an anointing place upon him that took every success and failure in his life and used those experiences to heal and restore our nation. There was not a single area of our country left untouched by what God was doing through his presidency. And the Lord said, the healing is coming and the unifying of the people, the restoration of all things within my nation is coming. And when the Lord talks to me about America, and I believe he does the same thing with Mom, he calls America his nation. He said, it's my nation. A few months later, I saw, this was November of last year actually, I saw an open vision of America, and it was on fire, and it was a fire that didn't burn, and the flames danced off the land. And in some areas, the flames extended so high, they seemed to reach straight into heaven. And I asked him why those areas were so high in the sky, and he replied, those are the areas where my intercessors allowed me to press them deep into the tectonic plates. Their suffering has not gone unnoticed, nor will it be without my reward. God is healing America. Revival heals the nation. Now I want to share, I'm going to close with this, because I think you know, President Trump was created for such a time as this. And the intercessors, you, us, we were created to surround God's plan for the country. We were created to surround God's choice to lead this country, break the hold of the cabal, and to bring this country into a place where his glory can pour out on our nation. And I remembered hearing this. I think Mike Huckabee had actually shared it. So I looked this up because President Trump has in his heritage revival. In 1949, the island of Lewis in the Hebrides, it's off the coast of Scotland, was struck by a revival that shook the islanders at the time and in varying ways continues to impact the world to this day. It began with the intercession of two sisters on the small Scottish island of Lewis in the village of Barvas. The Smith sisters, Peggy, who was blind, and Christine, who was arthritic, began to pray. Peggy received a revelation that revival was coming. Some Christian leaders met in a barn to pray, not for others, but for their own cleansing. Soon revival broke out. A 15-year-old boy named Donald Smith proved to be a great prayer warrior who kept his heart close to God. He became involved with the famous Hebrides revival, which lasted 3 years. What does this have to do with President Trump? Years earlier, Mary Ann Smith McCloyd, niece of the two elderly women and cousin of Donald Smith, immigrated to America and met a young man named Frederick. They fell in love and married in January of 1936, and they had five children: Mary Ann, Frederick, Elizabeth, Donald, and Robert. That's Donald J. Trump. One elderly sister who had prayed for revival sent her Bible to America as a gift to Mary Ann, who subsequently gave it to her son, Donald. That's, again, our president. Throughout his first term, that Bible was in President Trump's office at the White House, and it was one of the Bibles upon which he placed his hand to take the oath of office. So President Donald J. Trump's roots reach back to one of the greatest revivals in history. The glory of God is en route, and the golden hour is upon us. And I know in the near future, as Mom and I both shared, we're going to see some rough times because we're doing that last bit of exposing, uprooting, and dealing with the corruption. But if we'll stay faithful to the promises of God, God will use these difficult times to expose the corruption, bring forth his hammer of justice, and prepare the people of our nation for the glory of God to pour out over the land. President Trump is the only person who's been given the ability to bring us up and out of this chaos. And the Lord's been speaking prophetically about his presidency since 1983. And has planned for this hour during his presidency to set our nation free from the cabal and use this period of time to bring forth his glory. And my prayer is, my friends, my fellow intercessors, that you will continue to stand and you will stay faithful to the call, that of an intercessor. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the intercessors. I thank you for our time together. And I thank you, Lord God. Here we are, 2025, the year of justice. Here we are, O Lord, 2025. By the end of this year, it will be 26 years that we have prayed in the gatherings. What a remarkable time to be alive, to see so much history, to have the opportunity to pray through so much of our history and pave the way for your spirit to come. Lord, together we continue to pray for President Trump's protection. And we thank you, Lord God, that you will order his steps. I ask, O Lord, that you would bless the intercessors as they have been so faithful. You would encourage them and strengthen them and make them so sensitive to your spirit as we continue to press in and press on behalf of our nation. In your precious name, amen. Thank you, Joe.